A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. Random House Audio presents Star Wars, Empire and Rebellion, Honor Among Thieves, by James S. A. Corey. Read for you by Mark Thompson. Chapter 1. From the Imperial Core to the outflung stars of the Rim, the galaxy teemed with life. Planets, moons, asteroid bases, and space stations peopled with 1,000 different species, all of them busy with the great ambitions of the powerful, and also with the mundane problems of getting through their days, the ambitions of the Emperor all the way down to where to eat the next meal. Or whether there would be a next meal. Each city and town and station and ship had its own histories and secrets, hopes and fears, and half-articulated dreams. But for every circle of light, every star, every planet, every beacon and outpost, there was vastly more darkness. The space between stars was and always would be unimaginably huge, and the mysteries that it hid would never be wholly discovered. One bad jump was all it took for a ship to be lost. Unless there was a way to reach out for help, to say, "Here I am, come find me," an escape pod or a ship or a fleet could vanish into the places between places that even light took a lifetime to reach. And so a rendezvous point could be the size of a solar system, and the rebel fleet could still hide there like a flake in a snowstorm. Hundreds of ships, from cobbled-together plasma-scorched cruisers and third-hand battleships to X and Y wings and everything in between. They flew through space together silently, drifting closer in or farther apart as the need arose. Repair droids crawled over the skins of the ships, welding back together the wounds of their last battles, sure in the knowledge that they were the needle in the Empire's haystack. Their greatest danger wasn't the enemy, but inaction, and the ways a certain kind of man coped with it.
"I wasn't cheating,"
Han Solo said as Chewbacca bent to pass through the door in the bulkhead.
"I was playing better than they were." "That's how I was playing better. It's not against the rules. Besides, what are they going to buy with their money out here?"
A dozen fighter pilots marching past in dirty orange and white uniforms saluted them. Han nodded to each one as he passed. They were an ugly bunch. Middle-aged men who should have been back home on a planet somewhere, spending too much time at the neighborhood bar, and weedy boys still looking forward to their first wispy mustaches. Warriors for freedom, and terrible sabacc players. Chewbacca let out a long, low groan.
"You wouldn't,"
Han said. Chewbacca's blue eyes met his, and the Wookiee's silence was more eloquent than anything he might have said aloud.
"Fine,"
Han retorted.
"But it's coming out of your cut. I don't know when you went soft on me."
"Han!"
Luke Skywalker came jogging down a side corridor, his helmet under his arm. Two droids followed him, the squat, cylindrical R2-D2 rolling along, chirping and squealing, and the tall, golden C-3PO trotting along at the back, waving gold chrome hands as if gesticulating in response to some unheard conversation. The kid's face was flushed, and his hair was dark with sweat, but he was grinning as if he'd just won something.
"Hey,"
Han said.
"Just get back from maneuvers?"
"Yep. These guys are great. You should have seen the tight spin and recover they showed us. I could have stayed out there for hours, but Leia called me back in for some kind of emergency meeting."
"Her worshipfulness called the meeting?"
Han asked, as they turned down the main access corridor together. The smell of welding torches and coolant hung in the air. Everything about the Rebel Alliance smelled like a repair bay.
I thought she was off to her big conference on Kiamur.
She was supposed to be. I guess she postponed leaving.
The little R2 droid squealed, and Han turned to it.
What's that, R2?
C-3PO, catching up and giving a good impression of leaning forward to catch his breath, even though he didn't have lungs, translated.
He's saying that she's postponed her departure twice. It's made a terrible shambles of the landing docks.
Well, that's not good,
Han said.
Anything that keeps her from sitting around a big table deciding the future of the galaxy. I mean, that's her favorite thing to do.
You know that's not true,
Luke said, making room in the passageway for a bronze-colored droid that looked as if it had barely crawled out of the trash heap.
I don't know why you don't like her more.
I like her fine.
You're always cutting her down, though. The Alliance needs good politicians and organizers.
You can't have a government without a tax collector. Just because we'd both like it if the Emperor wasn't in charge, it doesn't make me and her the same person.
Luke shook his head. The sweat was starting to dry, and his hair was getting some of its sandy color back.
I think you two are more alike than you pretend.
Han laughed despite himself.
You're an optimist, kid.
When they reached the entrance to the command center, Luke sent the droids on, R2-D2 whistling and squeaking, and C-3PO acting annoyed. The command center had taken a direct hit in the fighting at Yavin, and the reconstruction effort still showed. New panels, blinding in their whiteness, covered most of one wall, where the old ones had been shattered by the blast. Where the replacements ended, the old panels seemed even darker by contrast. The head-high displays marked the positions of the ships in the fleet, and the fleet in the emptiness of the rendezvous point, the status of repair crews, the signals from the sensor arrays, and half a dozen other streams of information. None of the stations was staffed. The data spooled out into the air, ignored. Leia stood at the front of the room, the bright repair work and grimy original walls seeming to come together in her. Her dress was black with embroidery of gold and bronze. Her hair, a soft spill gathered at the nape of her neck, in a style that made her seem both more mature and more powerful than had the side buns she'd worn on the Death Star. From what Han had heard around the fleet, losing Alderaan had made her older and harder. And, as much as he hated to admit it, she wore the tragedy well. The man she was talking to, Colonel Harsin, had his back to them, but his voice carried just fine.
With respect, though, you have to see that not all allies are equal. Some of the factions that are going to be on Kiamur, the Alliance would be better off without.
I understand your concerns, Colonel, Leia said in a tone that didn't sound particularly understanding. I think we can agree, though, that the Alliance isn't in a position to turn away whatever help we can get. The Battle of Yavin was a victory, but...
Harsin raised a palm, interrupting her. He was an idiot, Han thought.
There are already some people who feel that we have become too lax in the sorts of people we're allowing into our ranks. In order to gain respect, we must be free of undesirable elements.
I agree, Han said.
Colonel Harsin jumped like a poked cat.
You've got to keep the scum out.
Captain Solo, Harsin said. I didn't see you there. I hope I gave no offense.
No, of course not,
Han said, smiling insincerely.
I mean, you weren't talking about me, were you?
Everyone is very aware of the service you've done for the Alliance.
Exactly. So there's no reason you'd have been talking about me.
Harsin flushed red and made a small formal bow.
I was not talking about you, Captain Solo.
Han sat at one of the empty stations, stretching his arms out as if he were in a cantina with a group of old friends. It might have been an illusion, but he thought he saw a flicker of a smile on Leia's lips.
Then there's no offense taken, he said.
Harsin turned to go, his shoulders back and his head held high. Chewbacca took a fraction of a second longer than strictly needed to step out of the...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?